We're going to get into what's real and what's fake from this past weekend in just a second. I wanted to start off today with the disaster that's going on right now in Tampa Bay. If you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it is officially time to be worried. It is full-blown panic mode right now in Tampa. You take away the record, and you look at the Buccaneers on paper, you would think that they had the capability to be the best team in the NFL. Think about the NFL, though. Just having talent, just having a loaded roster is not enough. In the NBA, you have a guy like LeBron James or a guy like Kawhi Leonard on your roster, you are guaranteed pretty much to make the playoffs unless they get injured. Talent is enough to get you there in the NBA. That's not how it works in the NFL. The league is too balanced. I'm not saying that you don't need talent and star players in the NFL. You definitely do. You need a star quarterback. But having a talented roster doesn't guarantee success. It is clear that Tom Brady is not comfortable in Bruce Arians' offense, which is a trend now for Bruce Arians. CBS showed the last four quarterbacks that he has coached. Their first year in his system, every one of them had a career high in interceptions. But more than that, I'm not real sure that Tom Brady and Bruce Arians like each other, that they get along, which is essential in the NFL. Head coach and quarterback need to have a good relationship. Tom Brady was asked after the game on Sunday about former teammate Rob Ninkovich's comments that he made on ESPN last week, in which he stated that Tom Brady needs a new head coach in Tampa Bay. Now, his response was typical Tom Brady, a typical Tom Brady response, which means he answered the question without answering the question. But what I found interesting in his response, he didn't come to the defense of Bruce Arians. And why should he? Every time the Bucs have lost this season, Bruce Arians has blasted Tom Brady publicly in his post-game press conference. We went over all of this last week. You can check out that video in the archives. In that video, I talked about Bruce Arians not making adjustments to his system to set up Tom Brady for success. Mainly, what I was talking about was Bruce Arians' refusal to use a pre-snap motion, which if you followed the career of Tom Brady in New England, it seemed like they motioned on damn near every other play. Bruce Arians also doesn't take any pressure off Tom Brady in the running game. The Bucs are near the bottom of the league in rushing attempts and rushing yards. They have Leonard Fournette on the roster. He's in the backfield. He was brought in to take some of the pressure off of Tom Brady. Leonard Fournette has 19 rushing attempts in the last 4 weeks. Ronald Jones, 19 attempts the past two games. Bruce Arians seems okay with running the ball early, but if it's not working out early on, they just abandon the run, put everything on Tom Brady's shoulders. I don't have any inside information, but this is just my eyes, my opinion. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians are not on the same page, which is bad news if you're Bruce Arians, because Tom Brady's not going anywhere. If the Bucs move on from anyone after this season, it's going to be the coach, not the GOAT. I expected Tom Brady to struggle early this season. New team, new offense, not a typical offseason, new coaching staff, new surroundings. I figured that it would take him maybe half the season for things in Tampa to come together. But that's not happening. If anything, it's actually getting worse. Tampa has lost three of their last four games. Against playoff teams this year, the Bucs are 2-4. And like I say on here all the time, it's not that they're losing to playoff teams. It's how they are losing. Blown out twice by the Saints. They made it close towards the end of that game against Kansas City the other day, but that game was never really in doubt. Patrick Mahomes torched that defense. Which reminds me, where the hell is this elite Tampa defense? If you've listened to the media all season, this was supposedly one of the better defenses in the NFL. Sunday was the third time in 4 weeks that they were ran off the field. Tom Brady set the Bucs up for a comeback win Sunday, but the elite Tampa defense, they couldn't get the Chiefs off the field late in the fourth quarter. I'm starting to wonder now if Tampa Bay's even going to make the playoffs. They've got Minnesota coming to town after the bye week. Then they had the Falcons twice over the last 3 weeks of the season. The bye week couldn't have come at a better time for Tampa Bay. This team needs a break. The 9-7 should get them in the playoffs. So even if they split the last four games of the season, they should still be playing in January. But that's not the goal. It is Super Bowl or bust. When you have a 43-year-old quarterback, a six-time Super Bowl champion under center, just making the playoffs is not enough. Even when you're talking about Tampa Bay, a perennial loser in the NFL. With things like they are right now in Tampa, this team doesn't have a chance at making the Super Bowl. All right, let's get to what's real, what's fake from this past weekend. And for those of you that are new to the channel, every Tuesday, we take headlines from the past weekend and we determine what's real, or what I agree with, or what's fake, an overreaction to something, or just outright stupidity. First up, Taysom Hill was exposed against the Broncos. Fake. I actually pulled this from Twitter because the majority of people on there were roasting Taysom Hill Sunday afternoon. And I just think this needs to be addressed. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. You look at Taysom Hill's numbers on paper against the Broncos, they're god-awful. 9 of 16, 78 yards, an interception. He added a couple of touchdowns and 44 yards on the ground. Even watching the game, Taysom Hill looked awful. They never got into a rhythm. But I'm not going to put that on Taysom Hill because I believe it's exactly what Sean Payton wanted. Actually, I know it's what Sean Payton wanted because he said as much after the game. I could tell after the second drive of that game that Sean Payton was holding back offensively, which makes sense when you think about it. The Broncos came into that game with no quarterback on the roster because of the ridiculous COVID protocols. They called up some dude that was selling insurance or something on the street last week, and he was their quarterback Sunday against the Saints. New Orleans has one of the best defenses in the league, so Sean Payton knew going in that there was no way the Saints were losing that game. You got big games coming up against Atlanta, Philadelphia, Kansas City, all over the next 3 weeks. So why would Sean Payton give away anything offensively against the Broncos? Why run plays that no one's ever seen before? Why go deep into the playbook to try and trick the Broncos' defense? It just wasn't necessary. Sean Payton ran a vanilla offense, a generic offense. All he asked of Taysom Hill was to manage the game. Don't make mistakes. Don't take any risk. Let's just get this win and get the hell out of here with everybody healthy. That's it. It's as simple as that. Taysom Hill's performance in Denver has no impact on his future as the Saints starter. Some will look at Sean Payton's press conference as him coming to the defense of Taysom Hill, protecting his prized possession. Sean Payton is just defending Taysom Hill because he had a bad game. Taysom Hill did exactly what Sean Payton wanted. The game plan wasn't to pass for 300 yards. It wasn't to run up the score. Taysom Hill even mentioned the game plan was drastically changed once they learned that Denver didn't have a quarterback on the roster. All Sean Payton wanted was to win and get out healthy. And that's exactly what happened. So people need to lay off Taysom Hill and his performance against the Broncos. All right, next up. The Colts won't make this excuse, but they should be excused for their loss to the Titans. Fake. Got this from the Indy Star. The gist of this article was just what the title says. Making excuses for the Colts' blowout loss to the Titans. The Colts were missing players. Phillip Rivers played with a hurt toe. DeForest Buckner was out. The Colts destroyed the Titans 2 weeks ago when they were healthy. First of all, this is week 12. Every team in the league is missing key players at this point at certain positions. Hell, the Saints are missing Drew Brees. They're still winning. The Titans were down two left tackles. Jadeveon Clowney, a linebacker, a cornerback. They didn't miss a beat against Indianapolis. Injuries are not a valid excuse for that abysmal performance that we saw from the Colts on Sunday. That game was over at halftime. What happened to this number one defense in Indianapolis that I've been hearing about? Tennessee put up 35 points before halftime, continuing a trend for the Colts defense getting off to slow starts, which is a problem when you have an aging Phillip Rivers as your quarterback. Once again, Phillip Rivers was god-awful. This season in Indianapolis has been reminiscent of his entire career. He is consistently inconsistent. Looked great 2 weeks ago against Tennessee. Looked good last week against Green Bay. He was awful against Baltimore. Awful Sunday against the Titans. Awful against Cleveland. Awful against Chicago. I told you guys last week that the Colts were pretenders, not contenders. Sunday was another example of why I feel that way. You blinked, and they were out of that game. They had no answer for Derrick Henry, who ran up and down the field on their defense. Phillip Rivers and the offense didn't contribute much either. The Colts defense actually held Tennessee to just 3 points in the third quarter, mainly because the Titans went into game management mode with a 21-point lead. Do you know how many points Phillip Rivers and the offense put up in the third quarter? Zero. The Colts are an illusion. Fans and local media, they can make injuries an excuse if that makes them feel better. But the truth is, this team is not a threat in the playoffs. They are not a Super Bowl contender. This was the second time this year that they have been blown out by a quality opponent. And the loss to Cleveland, you could consider that a third because that game wasn't really all that close either. The other day, Phillip Rivers told local media in Indianapolis that he's the absolute antithesis of a quarterback that Colts fans would care to cheer for. He mentioned playing in a city where Peyton Manning set such a high standard, followed by Andrew Luck. He said that fans in Indianapolis are used to good quarterback play and that he's the last guy that Colts fans were looking to pull for because he has beaten them twice in the playoffs. Phillip Rivers is half right with that statement. Yes, Colts fans are used to great quarterback play, but that is what makes him the antithesis, not him beating them twice in the playoffs 12, 13 years ago. They're used to watching their starting quarterback, their franchise quarterback, win games, not find ways to lose them. Indy's in the playoff picture right now, but the playoffs are not guaranteed at this point. Last 5 weeks of their year are tough. Two games against an improving Texans team, the Raiders, the Steelers. I would say a guaranteed win over Jacksonville the last week of the season, but Phillip Rivers even found a way to lose to Jacksonville in week one, so the playoffs are not guaranteed for Indianapolis. All right, next up. Mitchell Trubisky fumbles his second chance. Real. Got this from the Chicago Sun-Times. Leading up to their game against the Packers Sunday night, Matt Nagy was talking about a new and improved Mitchell Trubisky. He said that the injury to Nick Foles was Trubisky's chance to rebrand himself, to change the narrative of his career. This is his second chance, says Matt Nagy. I don't know what you guys saw Sunday night, but it sure as hell looked to me like the same Mitchell Trubisky. The Bears would have been better off with a hobbling Nick Foles under center. That is how bad Mitchell Trubisky was. I'm not sure what Matt Nagy saw in practice to make him believe that Mitchell Trubisky was going to get his redemption Sunday night. Or maybe he was just trying to be positive, trying to speak it into existence. Whatever he was trying to do, it didn't work. Once again, for, I don't know, the 30th time in his career, Mitchell Trubisky was god-awful. Awful. There are not enough negative words to describe how bad his performance was against the Packers. Besides the Broncos, who had no quarterback Sunday, Mitchell Trubisky was easily the worst quarterback in the NFL on Sunday. Three fumbles, one return for a touchdown, threw an interception in the red zone, then threw another interception. Because, you know, if there's one thing that Mitchell Trubisky does best, it's having multiple turnovers in a game. He had as many turnovers in that game as he had passing yards in the first quarter. Three. As bad as Nick Foles has been, and make no mistake about it, Nick Foles has been bad. But he hasn't committed three turnovers in a game all season. Chicago passing over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to draft Mitchell Trubisky is going to go down as one of the biggest blunders in the history of the NFL. Instead of getting better, Trubisky has gotten progressively worse each season. 95.4 quarterback rating back in 2018, dropped to 83 in 2019, 82.3 this season. Completion percentage dropping with each passing year, and wins, of course, happening with less frequency. It is an absolute waste of the Bears' defense, which is aging. The career of Mitchell Trubisky, it died Sunday night on Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers went ahead and eulogized him, and the Packers' defense promptly buried his career in the end zone. It is over. It is over for Mitchell Trubisky. There is not a team in this league that's going to give him a starting job next season. Now, he might luck up and get a backup role. Maybe. But even that is a stretch at this point. By this time next year, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be forgotten. All right, last but not least, Baker Mayfield has to be better for the Browns to make the playoffs. Real. I got this one from FanSided. Finally, someone on FanSided is pointing to the fact that Baker Mayfield is underperforming. I referenced an article from FanSided last week in one of my videos that stated that Baker Mayfield was developing into a franchise quarterback. I don't see it. And I didn't see it again on Sunday against Jacksonville. Statistically, Baker Mayfield had one of his best games of the season against Jacksonville. But that's supposed to happen when you're going up against one of the worst teams and one of the worst defenses in the NFL. What I saw Sunday from Baker Mayfield was the same thing that I have seen from him his entire career. For example, Browns are in the red zone, first half. Rashard Higgins is wide open for a touchdown. I mean, there's not a defender 5-10 yards by him. Baker Mayfield overthrows him, misses him completely. It was the easiest touchdown you'll ever get at the NFL level. Two plays later, Jarvis Landry, wide open. Once again, Baker Mayfield overthrows him. The Browns are forced to kick a field goal because Baker Mayfield missed on two easy touchdowns. Then, Cleveland's next red zone possession? He hits a nice pass to Austin Hooper for a touchdown. Now, you can get away with those types of mistakes against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you can't do that against playoff teams, which is the reason the Browns are 1-3 against winning teams this season. They have got to have more consistency from Baker Mayfield. Just like I said about Phillip Rivers a minute ago, Baker Mayfield is consistently inconsistent. And that's just not sustainable. There is too much talent in Cleveland to have this type of inconsistency at the quarterback position. The Browns are pretty much guaranteed to have their first winning season since 2007. And they should make the playoffs. And then they're going to get bounced in the wild card round. Even still, it will be looked at as a successful season in Cleveland, considering it's Kevin Stefanski's first year on the job. And this team hasn't made the playoffs since the 2001 season. But like I've said before, Baker Mayfield is going to be playing for his job next season because I don't feel like he has done anything this year to convince Kevin Stefanski that he is the answer at quarterback long term. All right, that's all for today. Hit that like and subscribe button. Click the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Leave me a comment in the section below. Is it time to panic in Tampa? Are the Indianapolis Colts Super Bowl contenders? Is the NFL career of Mitchell Trubisky over? Let me know your thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com. I'll see you guys next time.